Oh my God!
Y'all see this?
Y'all see this?
Yeah. NBA Strayer, how are you going, Egan? It is Monday, February 19. Oh, geez, Mondays. Settle down there, Garfield. I'm your host, James Clements. This is NBA Strayer. Here in Larryama Studios, hanging out, just watching the end of the All-Star game. I basically started recording before it was over, because if they don't care, I don't care. All right, we're going to wrap the All-Star weekend. We've got some winners and losers. Steph Curry beat up on a girl. Jeez, how was Kenny the Jet Smith during that one? What a dick. We'll fix All-Star weekend. That'll be fun.
I've got some ideas. Jeez, Jim, you've always got ideas. Have you got ideas on this?
Yes.
All right. We'll quickly wrap the game. We'll do a little bit of That's Not Life. But yeah, Nas, unpopular opinion of the day, and Outback Takeout. So we've got a bunch of listener Yeah Nas as well, mostly to do with All-Star. So that'll be fun. And then that's it. There's no games tomorrow. We've got a few days break, obviously, so we'll just have a look at maybe a little bit of what's upcoming, but we'll also pop up again later in the week to preview the next set of games on Friday. So, all right, let's get into it. This is episode 1037 of NBA Australia. Let's go!
G'day, this is Andrew Gaze, and you're listening and watching NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
You better. Especially, look, I've had my gripes about League Pass all year, right? Obviously. You've heard it. I've heard it. I've said it. The one saving grace today was that League Pass basically had the entire TNT pre-All-Star game gear, which was far more entertaining than the actual game itself, because it was Chuck and Shaq and Kenny and Ernie basically dumping on each other for about 3 hours, which was pretty fun. LeBron jumped in. They had to cut to Draymond. They had a bunch of other fun stuff. They actually had the full uninterrupted, like, Reggie sit down with David Letterman, which was very fun, despite the fact that Reggie Miller still sucks. But still, it was good because it just meant, like, after about the first 45 minutes, Shaq realized how much on-camera work he had to do, and he's like, I'm just going to dunk on Chuck and maybe Kenny a little bit. And Kenny got all up in his feels and stuff. Hey, Shaq, don't bring that up. Just because I wasn't an all-star, don't say that. It's like, Kenny, I don't know, it sounds like you're a bit sad about that. Keep dunking on him, Shaq. Anyway, it was good when Shaq realized that he and LeBron also had 3 All-Star MVPs, and Chuck only had the one.
How many you got, Chuck? How many you got?
It was very fun. Anyway, let's start today's show the way we start every show here at NBA Show with the Daily Whip Around. There's not much. Well, there's really no news beyond Adam Silver getting out there in front of everybody and telling them, oh no, this was going to be a great game. Oh yeah, you better be excited for this game. And then the game was horrible. The big news was, I guess, what, Mac McClung won his second back-to-back dunk comp. We'll talk about all this. But really, LeBron did the sort of media availability, which is kind of nice. And he was like, yep, yeah, don't know how many seasons I've got left. He's 50-50. My favorite. This is the best one that came out of All-Star Weekend, I reckon. He's 50-50. Whether or not he should take a farewell tour like Kobe, or whether he should Tim Duncan it and retire without announcing it to anybody. I've got a sneaking suspicion which side of the 50-50 he's going to fall on. At this point, you don't even know if he's, like, taking the piss, right? Like, LeBron at one point also said, yeah, that's like the Kobe thing. See, yeah, that seems cool, but I've never been great with accepting praise. It's a weird feeling for me. What? What are you talking about? That is absolute unadulterated bullshit. If there's one dude who loves the attention, loves having everybody talk about him, it's fucking LeBron James. You don't start a production company, reboot Space Jam, and fucking move to the LA Lakers to win more titles if you're not great with accepting praise? Oh, feels weird. Yeah. Oh, I'm actually a bit of an introvert, really. Fuck off. You're taking the... pull the other one. It plays Alex Lloyd's amazing. Wow. For a dude with that much like self-reflexivity, it stunned me that he said that shit. That's fucking hilarious. Right. But that's it. Like, there's no other real news apart from Adam Silver sort of still... Like, we talked about expansion last week, right? And so Adam Silver's done a bunch of his sort of media hits and all that sort of good gear. And he's like, yep, we are going to wait until, like, you know, the next round of the media rights are done and then we'll expand. It's not going to be three. It'll likely be two. And what wouldn't say, like, any of the, you know, specific places, obviously, because he's going to be pitting them all against each other to give him the most amount of money. But, yeah, kind of nice. He did actually get sort of grilled a little bit by Chuck about the NCAA and NIL and the G League Ignite. So I guess that's kind of the newsy little bit that came out of that is that he's like, yeah, look, we might have to reassess how the fuck we do G League Ignite because they're all shit and it's not working as well as we would. And it's because obviously with the NIL, which is the name, image and likeness approach that the NCAA has taken where the players can now get paid for the name, image and likeness. It is sort of set aside the idea that the G League Ignite can pay for elite talent and that's the only way you're going to make, like, some serious coin when you're, like, a kid before entering the NBA. And then the NBL's over here going, hello, we can do that too. And it's like, yeah, it's probably this year especially. We've got, obviously, Alessandro Sol, mooted number one pick, playing for the Perth Wildcats. You'd fucking barely know about it, really, if you're out in the east of Australia. I know that Matty and Mick do a pretty good job with code in covering all the NBL stuff and Alessandro Sol. But wow, there's not a giant amount over here otherwise. But still, he's been really good. It's really good. I think the Next Stars pathway done by Liam and co. is fantastic. And I think it'd be really good to see it go from strength to strength. And yeah, it's kind of like he, Adam Silver's like, yeah, G League Ignite is weird. Also, the G League is kind of weird. We don't know what really we're doing. But otherwise, it did sort of come up that he'd sat down with like the new head of the NCAA and was like, yeah, you know, he doesn't want to be reactionary. And it's like, all right, cool, man. They've done a great job. Not. Got him. Bang. All right. It's an interesting position for the NBA to be in. Propping up the NCAA, I think, is weird. Like, oh, we just want a better product, man. We want them to, like, pathways. And then they're sort of learning that the G League pathway is a bit tough. Even, you know, propped up by the league itself and the coaching and all that sort of stuff. But anyway, it's kind of a weird position for them to be, like, they're kind of jostling with the NCAA, right? For basketball eyeballs in America. And it's sort of like, I don't know why it's beholden upon the NBA to help out the NCAA. That's my point of view. Right, let's wrap up All-Star Weekend 2024. Yeah, no one cares about that celebrity game. That was weird. But Rising Stars happened. You've got the round robin stuff. Team Pow. Pow. Team Jalen wins it all, which is kind of fun. And Jeremy Sohan made the easiest $25,000 you'll ever make. He took two shots, missed both of them in the two rounds, and they won. So, it's pretty good, I guess. Very nice. And good on him, just overall. But in terms of like the rest of the stuff, it was Benny Mathurin won the MVP. He was actually really good in those ones. And then the rest of it, like, Sohan's the least valuable player, but Team Jalen wins. I had picked I think it was Team Power. And they made the final, so it was pretty close. But either way. Rising Stars is also just like, no one cares. They've tried to rejigger the format for this, and it should literally just be USA versus world. Like, stop fucking around. Just do it. Just do it. That would have been sick. We would have had, like, you know, Chet V. Wimby and all the good stuff all the way through, but no, we have to do it in four different fucking ways. It's just weird. Sunday, our day, so our Sunday. I'll tell you what was really fun. Having a family get-together and watching the dunk comp, three-point shooting comp, without listening to the commentary, you can follow along perfectly fucking fine without Kenny the Jet Smith. I went back and because, you know, I'm a completist and a psycho and I love basketball. I also love All-Star Weekend. But going back and rewatching it all, Kenny the Jet Smith, wow. That dude fucking sucks. He's always been, he and Reggie have always been one of the very, very worst things about All-Star Game. And I don't know how or why they've become so ingrained in the process. Like, has anybody sat back and gone, yes, this is what people want? Like, Kenny the Jet Smith saying the same thing over and over. Here we go, here we go, here we... Yes, Kenny, we get it. Here we go. Do you know words? Question mark? Fucking hell. And then he's dropping this Sabrina stuff. He's like, she's playing with dolls. She's not playing with dolls out here, Reggie. It's like, what is he fucking on about? This guy sucks. Anyway, so we get the skills challenge. The pick was Scoob, Maxi, and Trey for me. And so, you know, they were there for a minute, but we actually had the winners being Halliburton, Mathurin, and Turner, which is kind of cool and good on them. The indie connection, like, I think the entire time, it was very fun to have Halliburton. I don't know how many mayors of indie there were, but at different points, it was Mike Epps, Reggie Miller, and Tyrese Halliburton. I think there's usually only one mayor, from what I know. You know what I'm saying? Anyway. But the skills challenge, look, it's, as I've said before, it's the redheaded stepchild of our All-Star, and no one fucking cares about it, right? And so... it was just pretty weird, and you've got the weird part. I think you've had teammates win the last couple of years, right? I think it was like the Cavs and the Jazz, and then you've had the Pacers of Halliburton, Mathurin, and Turner win it. So cool. I mean, there was like, you know, the big comeback from the All-Stars and the shooting stuff, and my pick of Scoob, Maxi, and Trey looked pretty dire to start off with when Scoob couldn't do fucking anything, right? But then Ant-Man decided to shoot himself and his team in the foot by shooting his three-point shots left-handed like a fucking dickhead. Maxi went the wrong way around the pylon. Look, it was also the sort of debut of like the cool LED full court. That looked awesome. I really enjoyed that. But then away you went. The passing round was kind of fun. And the All-Stars were right there. And then the Pacers sort of got over it just over the... with the shooting stuff. So whatever. The skills challenge just kind of sucks, but good job by the home team. In the three-point comp, this was fun as shit. We had a four-way tie to make it to the final. So we had the 30-second tiebreaker stuff. So the four that got through was a Cat, Trey, Tyrese Halliburton, and Dame. So Dame obviously goes on to win. Tyrese Halliburton got knocked out in the tiebreaker. Cat was looking pretty good. Trey was looking pretty good. But Dame just fucking went... bang! And back-to-back three-pointer comp champs. That's hard. Like, the last time it happened was Jason Capono. So that's pretty crazy. Since, what was it, 07, 08 was Capono? So, yeah. But you had two winners already in it. You had Cat, who won it in 2022. You had Dame, who won it last year. And bang. 26 points for Dame. Off he goes. Gets the win. The tiebreak, it seemed weird that they did the tiebreak. It's like, bro, it's four. There's literally no fucking difference in having four people in the final than three. You're now actually just making this longer to have this, like, three quarters of the same people in the fucking final. It's no different. Just have all four of them. What are we doing here? The tiebreaker should be at the end of the final if Dame and fucking Halliburton end up on 26 each, you know? That was weird and stupid. But either way, look, Dame, the three-point comp has obviously become the premier banner event of Saturday. And it's because, like, actual superstars like Trey, Donnie, Dame, Brunson, Cat, Lowry and co. actually make it a priority and actually do the damn thing. And it's like, yeah, what's that? That was all All-Stars except for Malik Beasley. And it's just like, he's just like, oh, yeah. I just came with Giannis. But either way, look, Dame was my tip. I was happy with that. I actually had, three of my tips made it through to the final four. So I tipped Dame, Cat, and Halliburton. I didn't expect Trey to be that consistent, but he got on a fucking heater and looked really, really good. So, but either way, good job by Dame. You then had the Steph versus Sabrina three-point challenge. Sabrina Ionescu was awesome, despite Kenny the Jet Smith's fucking dumbassery. She goes for 26, which was obviously the same as the dudes in the actual three-point comp. So to be honest, we should probably just have her in it. Then Steph dropped to 29. Took those last two balls to get over the 26 mark, though. So he's like on 25, and his last two balls, bang, hits the 27, bang, hits the 29. So that was kind of cool. It's just fun watching Steph shoot threes. And Sabrina Ionescu is awesome. So that was fun as hell. The weird part was when they had the belt. It's like, all right, cool. And it's like, I don't know. Steph is like obviously the most wholesome fucking superstar we've got. And he was genuinely like excited for how she ripped it up, which is fun as hell. So I don't know. That was a really good sort of addition. And I kind of like the simple idea of a one-on-one. It's like, geez, I don't know. This seems to work really well. Maybe we should have a one-on-one tournament. Bloody hell, it's not rocket surgery sometimes. Anyway, so that was good. Enjoyed that. And then we had the slam dunk comp, which I guess to wrap it all up, you had obviously Mac McClung, who won it last year, not in the NBA, but I love that he gets to have a crack at defending the crown. Jaylen Brown, the only all-star to do it since Victor Oladipo back in 2018. You had Jaime Jaquez Jr., and Jacob, I'm the Toppin from Wish Toppin. Jacob Toppin was pretty good. So the opening stuff, you had Jaime Jaquez teabagging the back of Shaq's skull, just raking his balls over the back of Shaq's bald noggin. Just get some fucking, I don't know, shaver rash on his nutsack. Poor Jaime Jaquez. But had to push off to get over Shaq anyway and still fucking collected him in the back of the head. And probably, look, giving Shaq a concussion with your nuts is pretty fucking funny, to be honest. Like, 1,000 points for that one. I had the sick hat dunk as well, which is really cool. And one of those little sort of technical dunks where you watch it again in slow-mo and you're like, that was pretty good. Knocks the hat off his head. Jacob Toppin had the one where he dunks over his brother. That was pretty good. And it's like, we've already dunked over people pretty quickly in this dunk comp. Is that all we're going to do? And the answer was, yes. Jacob Toppin, though, had probably the best non-Mac McClung dunk of this one when he had the sick through the legs 360, which should have beaten Jaylen Brown. But, yeah, Adam Silver definitely had a word to the don't. You have to make sure that Jaylen Brown makes the final. I didn't pay him under the table a fuck ton of money to enter this shit and for him to not make the final. So the Jaylen Brown schmozzle. Absolute schmozzle. He did the Dominique, which because TNT completely cooked the coverage, I don't know, it seems like an important thing in the dunk comp to actually show the dunk while it's happening, as opposed to the Dominique jersey guy who was back at the scorer's table while Brown was dunking. So, yeah, we didn't get to see it. That seemed fucking stupid. But anyway, it was a pretty cool dunk. He also did the, he jumped over like, what, Donnie Mitchell and then Mac McClung dunked over Shaq. He had the Jason Tatum come out and will dunk over Kai Cenat, the YouTuber, who was going to be sitting on a chair. It's like the dude's 4 foot fucking two anyway. Like, what are we doing here? And he couldn't pull off the D Brown while he was doing it. And it was just like, this is the dumbest fucking thing in the world. But the left-handed Jaylen Brown thing, like, it was kind of funny that he did, like, the Jaylen Brown left hand. He was, like, wearing a glove. It's like, ha-ha-ha. Yeah, I can't do anything with my left hand, man. It's like, well, we're still kind of like not being having this proven. To be honest, the D Brown stuff of like him pumping up his Reeboks back in, what, 91 when he won it is still undefeated. I love that shit. But then I think Jaylen Brown came out and was like, yeah, man, so the LED court was too slippery for what I wanted to do. It's like, fuck off. Anyway, but yeah, him dunking in a fucking Michael Jackson OJ glove while he went up and did it was kind of like weird. Like he got a 49.2 for this basic ass dunk where you're like, all right, great. Like it was so stupid. Whereas Mac McClung did the double tap and got like 48. Oh, what a mess. I was pretty angry. But he also sort of did the 360 windmill that he had wearing Terrence Clark's Brewster jersey, which is pretty cool. But seriously, man, like we just hit a point of this where like Jaylen Brown wasn't that good. He jumps over a dude who's like 4'2", sitting fucking down. He jumps over Donnie Mitchell. And I don't know, like Aaron Gordon jumped over Taco Fall. You know what I'm saying? Now Jalen's dunking over a dude who's sitting down and is already 4'1". It's just fucking brutal. Meanwhile, Mac McClung was sick. He jumped over two people. The double tap was the best dunk of the night, though. The tap to himself, the double handling, it was fucking amazing. Reverse double tap. Love that. And then he had the sick last dunk where he jumped over Shaq on the angle. And actually cleared Shaq, which was kind of like the most important part. Because Jaime Jaquez, obviously, as mentioned, gave Shaq a fucking concussion with his nuts. And Mac McClung literally full-blown, like, cleared the dude, which is fairly cool. So, I don't know. Like, the Dominic Wilkins windmill was fucking stupid and weird. Like, it's okay. And then he jumps over fucking, like, Kyson at Jaylen Brown, and then his, the poor kid who died using his jersey for a prop. Okay. And then, like, the last one, which was like a left-handed windmill. It's like, what are we doing here? So it was bizarre. It was stupid. Mac McClung deserved to win it, and he did. I don't know how they managed to, like, have not that top and dunk go through, because that was unreal. But leaving McClung to make sure he had to get a fucking 50 to beat Jaylen Brown was absolutely ridiculous. So thank fuck. But Jesus, Jaylen Brown, take a long, hard look at yourself. Seriously, the 360 through the legs was very, very cool. Good job, Jacob Toppin. Anyway, Mac McClung, as I said last year, pretty amazing the 1930s coal miner won the dunk comp. This year, it's like, wow, it's pretty amazing that 2009 Roger Federer can win the dunk comp. I love that he grew his hair out. That was fantastic. Great job, Mac McClung. You legend. All right, so Saturday winners and losers. Should we play the drop? Let's play the drop.
Oh, my God. I won! I won! Ah! Recapping our day's top story, the winner of today's state lottery is...
Me! Camp Rockman. Now I got to shut him in. Yeah, winners, Mac McClung. Back-to-back. That's awesome. Love it. It's really hard to pull off. Back-to-back wins in anything with All-Star weekends. And dunk comps, he was really cool. He had the best dunk of the night. I'm glad that he won. It's weird that he's not in the NBA. Like, how Adam Silver hasn't gone, hey, Orlando, I need you to play the kid for at least a couple of games here. What are you doing? That sort of shit. It's weird. Winner, Sabrina Ionescu. That was a fucking electric, electric vibe. And obviously Steph, because I think his approach to it all and just like his sheer gregariousness and like clear love of competition and not being afraid to go out there. And like, if he had have lost, like he would have never heard the end of it. But by the same token, like, he wasn't afraid. That's fucking cool as shit. And he is the greatest shooter of all time. Big winners, though, I think, like, obviously Tyrese Halliburton having a big, big, big light shone on him. He's a big, 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 big weekend winner from All-Star Weekend. And, I mean, it's pretty handy when he also goes out and has a really good game, which he did. He had 32 and, what, 6? Pretty good. But elsewhere... big winners from this weekend. I'm going to say Zach LaVine and Aaron Gordon. Like, they could have named their price to do a one-on-one next year, couldn't they? Like, same as the Sabrina versus Stephen Curry stuff. Like, we could have a LaVine versus Gordon. And that would be wicked. Aaron Gordon's been robbed time after time of dunk comp titles. It's fucked. But they could just name their price and be a one-on-one thing next year, couldn't they? And also, like, they become shorthand for, like, yeah, the last time the dunk comp was actually good. Mac McClung, like, we're going to look back in this go, yeah, that was really cool. He was awesome. He was also in the fucking G League. Like, sure. One of the other winners was, like, I don't know, sleep. Like, wow, can we get through these things a bit fucking quicker? I don't know how the three-point comp dragged on so long. It's like, oh, geez, we better have an unnecessary tiebreaker in the middle to pad it out. What are we doing? And then the dunk comp, like, ugh, absolutely brutal. it just took fucking forever. But look, at least in terms of speeding up the dunk comp, they've done a really good job of that. Don't get me wrong. Like, we now sort of punch through that in the way that it should be, where it's like, yeah, you're going to get pinged if you don't get your dunk right the first time. And that's why, obviously, Mac McClung was probably docked a few points here and there. But otherwise, they sort of, like, the night, dragged on a bit. We got there in the end, but goddamn. Indiana, that was a big winner as well. It was, I mean, talk about just having smoke blown up their ass about the home of basketball. So that was cool. Good on him. It's like, Indiana loves that idea of like, yeah, we are the home of basketball. So, all right, cool. Just because there was that movie about it. Losers.
We're not losers.
No, you two are winners, big winners. When I grow up, I want to marry a big winner like you guys.
Shut up. Losers.
Losers.
Kenny the Jet Smith, just a horrible commentator. Like, across the board, just bad. He adds so very little to Inside the NBA. Like, when he does his run to the fucking board, you learn the most basic shit where it's like, oh, yeah, they keep giving it to the big guy and he's scoring with ease. It's like, all right, Kenny. I can, I for one am surprised you never got that general manager job in New York or the fucking head coaching gig. Anyway, and yeah, just like the horrible Dog's Breakfast commentary. To go with some of the Dog's Breakfast broadcast stuff from TNT, like on that dunk stuff, that was horrible. Like, completely missing the Jaylen Brown Dominique dunk was just fucking stupid and really, really bad. They did a really good job, though. So back to the Indiana thing, like winners. They did a really good job of celebrating the past. And TNT did a good job, I think, of really sort of big upping. It was weird that they big up Reggie Miller as much as they did, but he's an Indiana icon. We get that. He is an absolute punish to listen to talk, however. And it's like, oh, God. And you can know that David Letterman is sitting there going, yeah, I can't believe this fuckhead had his own talk show. Anyway, I do like, you know, they had Oscar Robertson out there. They had Larry Bird. They had all the other legends, obviously, during the dunk comp stuff. And I got a couple of ideas for that a little bit later when we fix the All-Star weekend. Other losers, though, that Dog's Breakfast TNT stuff was hilarious. But dunking and creativity. Next year, can we ban jumping over people? Like, fucking, we get it. It's hard. I can't do it. I can't jump over a fucking phone book. And just, all right, Shaq is just going to be like, no, Mac. I've already had fucking Jaime Hawkins jump over me. You can't do the same thing. The cool part was how Mac completely cleared the dude, but Mac jumped over two people. We had a jump over Donnie Mitchell. We had a jump over Kai Cenat. We had a jump over Shaq earlier. We had a jump over your brother. It's like, we get it. Where's the fucking creativity? Just give us some cool, like, recreations of other stuff with a bit of twist on your own thing. Like, for all the shit that we think about, like, you know, Aaron Air Gordon jumping over, like, the mascot. A mascot's different from a person. Taco Fall is different from a person. But by the same token, like, the fucking hoverboard stuff, just the weird, cool, like, real athletic displays. Mac McClung, it felt like, and Jacob Toppin were the ones doing the cool stuff. And it's like, can we get a bit of creativity? I'll talk about this again later. Judging each year, they managed to somehow fuck this up. Like, the Jaylen Brown scores were just ridiculous. It shouldn't be that hard. And I do like that it's kind of, you know, smoothed out a little bit with the averages of going to 50. But you can also give someone a 45. Not everything's a fucking 48. What are we doing here? Social media was a big fucking weird loser on the night. It's just like, oh, God. Here we go. Like, trying to follow it along on Twitter and stuff was just a shit show. And Steph's belt. So the belt between Steph and Sabrina was pretty weird. Like, I like the idea, but yeah. You also had, like, a big loser is obviously the dunk comp and the way that this all goes about. Like, even when you've got Joel Embiid jumping on Twitter to say, I'm a professional hater, but I'm not hating when I say I could win the dunk contest with these scores, but not sure the knees would allow it, LMAO. He's not wrong. All right, then today's game wrap, game wrap, game wrap, game wrap, game wrap. East versus West, the NBA All-Star game. That's right, as mentioned, we had the David Letterman, Reggie Miller chat beforehand. We had hours upon hours of other stuff. You had Giannis making some jokes about he and Dame being the oldest people on the East. And it's like, wait, is that true? Holy shit. And then the East proceeded to absolutely shit pump the West. 211-186. The biggest focus will be on how this was a fucking shit show of a game. 211-186. I bet the over. Yeah, it hit, which is good. But it's a piss take at this point. We know it, right? Like, it's shoot and giggle. It's fucking layups or threes, couple of dunks here and there. No one showing any pride. You can tell, like, within the first 30 seconds, everyone's loafing around, just sort of getting into it a little bit. And then the East just got hot from three. They went 42 of 97 from three. They took 97 three-point shots out of 146 total field goal attempts. 97. At least the West was a little bit more balanced. 71 three-point shots out of 143 attempts. Like, that's only half. And they only made 35% of them. That's all they lost. But this was shoot and giggle, right? You had Halliburton and Dame lighted up from the get-go, and like the West was just like, ah, fuck, here we go. They had 12 threes before them at halftime, between the two of them at halftime. It was 22-48 on threes for the East. Curry hit four for the West in the first half as well, but that was all he hit for the entire game. Cat ends up with 50 of the most forgettable points you'll ever see in your entire NBA watching life. This is a bloke who had 60, 62 in a game and got benched. And his coach was coaching the Western Conference All-Stars. He got 50 and they got their ass kicked. I would love to know if Chris Finch is just like, I'm fucking sick of this guy. Karl Anthony Towns does not impact winning. He had 50 in an All-Star game and they got fucking straight killed. I'll tell you what.
So he got straight killed.
It's 62 and he got benched because they were going to lose. Anyway, he did have the most ineffectual 60-point game of all time, don't forget. So now he had 50, the most ineffectual 50-point game in All-Star history as well. Amazing work. Dame wins the MVP with 39. He went 11 of 23 from 3, 14 of 26 overall. Giannis, 23 and 7, not bad. Tatum had 20, hit 4 threes as well. Halliburton was awesome. 32 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists. 10 of 14 from downtown. Jaylen Brown had 36 as well, of which I remember about 6. Like, he didn't play in the third quarter, Jaylen Brown, but anyway. And on the West, I mean, you had what? Paul George and Kawhi. Yeah. They very clearly had, like, doctor's orders to go, hey, Chris Finch, we're playing no more than 10 minutes, dickhead. And he's like, all right. Devin Booker played 19. Had 15 points. Steph played the 26 minutes with 16 points, hit 4 threes. KD, 25 minutes. LeBron only 14. He didn't play in the third quarter at all. Joker and Luka were the funniest aspect for the West. Luka got blocked by the back by the rim after he actually had a dunk. Joker had his eyes light up. He had a fast break dunk and he laid it up. SGA was out there just taking heaps of threes. And you're like, this is good. He's good at it. 7 of 10 from downtown. He had 31. And yeah, Cat, 50 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists, 23 of 35 shooting, 4 of 13 from downtown. It doesn't speak to just how horrible this game was. 104-89 after the first half. Absolutely no trying. And you're like, to be honest, this is what you get. This is what we get. It's an All-Star game. What do you expect? Nothing more, nothing less. It's just shoot and giggle. That's all it is. No one wants to play defense. This is what we get. If we don't hold the players to account, if we give them fuck all to play for, this is what we get. It's an exhibition game. For all the crying, bitching, and moaning, oh, I got snubbed! And it's like, yeah, and then the game is shit, so who cares? That's why the NBA needs to fix it, and that's why we're going to fix it in just a second. All right, some quick awards to give out.
That's not a knife. That's annoying.
All right, let's do some winners and losers from each of the teams. Dame Lillard, obviously the winner and also the best. That's not a knife. The NBA Australia approved performance of the evening. 39 points. It's 11 threes. That was insane. Halliburton, big winner as well. Absolutely lit up. He hit, what, 5 threes in 90 seconds in the first quarter, and that game was basically over from then on out. Winner as well, Tatum. It was good to see him and his kid. They had a great time. He was very fun. He got to meet Larry Bird. So that's a win. Giannis, bit of a win there as well. He had a good, you know, good game. He had 23 points. Captain of the East, winning team again. Winner. Bam, bam. Got to start his first All-Star game. That was very fun. Winner as well, Scotty Barnes. Got a lot of junk time. Like, the young dudes usually don't get to get a bit of a run around. And then he did because they were winning by so much. Ends up with a 16. Jaylen Brown had 36, but he was a loser from the weekend anyway because of the horrible dunk stuff. You did have Donnie Mitchell. Didn't do much in the main event, so a bit of a loser there. Tyrese Maxey was a winner very early on. He played 17 minutes, the young man. That was fun. I give him a bit of a win because he hit a couple of threes, and that basically put the boot in the West in the first half. Brunson was a winner as well. He got going late. What do they say? The first Knicks guard to make an all-star team since, 2001, probably Allen Houston. Probably Allen Houston or Latrell. Did Spree count as a guard? Yeah, he surely did. Trae Young. I'm going to put him down as a loser. Really good in the three-point comp, obviously. But the all-star game, it's like, this should be something that Trae is just stamping himself on, and he just did not. Paolo Banchero as well. Bit of a loser. It was a bit of an afterthought, and then was kind of being dunked on throughout it. Got fouled at one point and couldn't get a call. Out West, the winners and losers. The winners for this are very few and far between. The winner, Karl Anthony Towns scored 50 in an All-Star game, but he's a loser because they lost. Steph looked very, very handy, but 16 points and 17 shots in an All-Star game. What are you doing, Steph? Bit of a loser there. LeBron James, winner. Played 14 minutes, copped all the accolades, swanned around like he owns a joint. Love that. KD, 18-5-5. He was a winner. He just sort of launched a couple of threes and then pissed off again. SGA, as a starter, stamped himself, 31 points, very cool. Devin Booker as well, chucked up a couple of nice shots, but also had some weird little moments. He had a sick dunk, ends up with 15 points. Ant-Man didn't have to do much and just didn't do much. He was sort of taking the piss all weekend, so I'm going to put Ant-Man down as a loser. Ant-Man had an opportunity there to come out and really just go, grab an all-star weekend by the scruff of its neck. We've seen this happen before. Kyrie has done it. Dame has actually already done it as well. And it happens every so often. This could have been Ant-Man's year, but he decided to act like a dickhead. So, big loser. Kawhi and Paul George, also winners because they only played 10 minutes. Cop all the accolades. Don't do much work. Anthony Davis, similar sort of vibes. He sort of just ran around half-assed, did some passing, took a couple of threes. Off he went. And the winners, Luka and Joker. It feels like their complete and utter disdain for the All-Star game drags it down, right? You've got two starters on the West just loafing around going, I don't fucking care about this. What are we doing? But they obviously love playing with each other where it's like, this would be fucking great if they actually played together. But they're not taking full advantage of it in the All-Star game, which worries me. So I want to put them down as losers because it's kind of like, if they don't try hard, the rest of the team just goes, fucking all right. Thanks a lot, Serbia and Slovenia. Dicks, not playing any defense, can't dunk. Yeah, so a bit of a losery kind of vibe. Look, I love him. It's a bit of shoot and giggle. Who fucking cares that much? But anyway, there's some winners and losers. Obviously, Sabrina and Mac are the big winners from the weekend as well. I thought they had a good one. Spud of the night.
Spud of the night.
That'd be Jaylen Brown. But Jimmy had 36, 8, and 3. Yep. Come on, man. He did the D Brown after the dunk. In that dunk. He, jumps over a 4 foot fucking 2 inch dude sitting down with the pass from his mate Jason Tatum. And can't do the D Brown. He's done the D Brown after the dunk on the ground. You're like, come on, man, what are you doing? Oh, and then he blames the LED floor. Fuck off. Horrible gear, Jaylen Brown. I want to like Jaylen Brown, but jeez. He completely cooked that weekend. I tell you. Old mate, no mates.
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 Old mate, no mates. Who's got no mates today? Joker and Luca very clearly have, like, fucking no time for anybody else in this all-star stuff, which is fun. Like, Luca's just kind of like, whatever, guys, you dickholes. Like, yeah, my buddy Kyrie's not here, so fuck all y'all, basically. But really, it also comes down to... The pantsing of the night was obviously the self-oop from Luka and being blocked by the rim, which was pretty amazing. Like, that was an all-time, oh, shit, here we go. Bong. Oh, that is one of the hardest self-pantsings you'll ever see. Better than Lonzo Ball.
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros. Now I can be average. You're coming for everybody.
Coming for everybody. I mean, it's obviously SGA, 31 as a starter. You know, something Lonzo never did. And very, very cool. I mean, you think about the dudes who were drafted in positions substantially lower than Lonzo, actually like Halliburton, obviously starting as well. Very cool. Scotty Barnes. Like, when he sort of came out and did his thing, it's like, yeah, Scotty Barnes all-star. Like, it's pretty fucking crazy and very cool. And same with Tyrese Maxey. So, great job by all of them. Magic tweet of the day. Oh, El Clasico. The 1992 All-Star Game is a core memory of mine. I owe so much to Commissioner David Stern allowing me to play in the game and helping me change the world after my diagnosis. Love the last couple of minutes of the game, competing against my two good friends and NBA greats Michael Jordan and Isaiah Thomas. Looking forward to watching this year's All-Stars play tonight. It is awesome to see, like, those 92 jerseys are fucking beautiful. You've got the blue and the white. You've got the sort of big chunky lettering. But the big thing is, like, when you watch highlights and stuff from then, you're like, yeah, there's the razzle-dazzle, which is like the All-Star part, but it's like a little bit of ISO gear. And then a lot of standing around, but there are still people sort of, you know, running back on D and getting out in the fast break to try and do stuff. But I feel like a lot of the one-on-one fuck you-ness is kind of fun. So great job, Magic. What do we say? Thanks, Magic. It was very cool. And I just love a lot of those photos from that era too, because that's the sort of stuff that we got to see, right, in the newspapers back in the olden days. Nosh. All right. No dickhead of the weekend because... I mean, no one was really a massive dick, so it's kind of funny. Let's do some yeah-nahs, and then we'll fix All-Star Break right after this.
This is Cam Glidden.
This is Anthony Drimmick.
This is Mitch McCarron.
This is Jason Kadee.
This is Darryl McDonald.
Hey, guys, this is Hugh Greenwood.
Yo, what's going on? This is Ellie.
This is Mark Worthington, or commonly known as Wurtho, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
You listen to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA
Australia.
You're
listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, let's do some yeah-nahs. Brought to you by the NBA Australia Shop. Get your merch.
People!
Get your merch, get your merch.
Wear it!
Get your merch, get your merch. Get your merch, get your merch.
Yeah, wear it. Tell you what, you can get a hoodie, t-shirt, you can get a stubby holder, you can get a coffee mug. Off you go. Just check out nbaaustralia.com/shop or just click through on the socials. Lots of nice, pretty pictures there. Right, got a bunch of yeah-nahs sent in to do with All-Star. Brett Pierce. Jim, yeah-nah. The Rising Stars Challenge was better when it was US versus the world because dudes were out there putting pride on the line instead of a, hey, we're playing short games with coaches we've known for 3 minutes. We'd see guys that might not get to showcase their talent instead of Pau Gasol, whom I do love, coach a team he doesn't know outside of film. Yeah, nah, yeah. It sort of always felt it was weird that this was one of the ones that they went away from and changed the format of so dramatically. Like Rising Stars, it could just be, like, I don't know why we're doing the sophomore aspect of Rising Stars. Like, it should just be the rookie game. But yeah, if we're going to do rookies and second-year players... It should be US versus the world because I think I replied to Brett saying, yeah, like the best part about like the fucking US versus the world is that you'd have like some random like Euro dude or like South American just tear up out of nowhere. And you're like, oh, if this dude just got more minutes, he'd be like this all that time. And it was fucking great. Gustavo Aon, just like yamming on dudes or some shit, you know? It was just always sort of stuff like that. We're like, look at Grievous Vasquez go. This is great. So, yeah, I'd much rather see USA versus the world happen as the rookie game. And it should just be a rookie game, if not rookie sophomores. But, yeah, it's weird that they sort of expanded it so much, and now it's a fucking dog's breakfast. Ugh, it's gross, but that's a good call, Brett. Thank you. Jez Oz! First one, the celebrity game needs to go. It's no better quality than an over 35's game at the Minor Dome on a Thursday night. Oh, that's almost a personal shot, Jez. Yeah, nah, they should replace it with a pro-am featuring retired all-stars and stars from other sports. Yeah, nah, yes. That is fucking great because one of those things that you hear about all the time is the NBA All-Star Legends game and how they don't do it anymore because, like, what was it, 1992? Like, we had everybody just, like, shredding... shredding their knees and shit, which was fucking brutal. It's sort of like the sort of weird part of like NBA history where they're like, yeah, it's great. It's really fun. We love honoring our older dudes. And then it was like David Thompson shredding his fucking knee, Norm Nixon breaking in half. But like the last time they played in 1993, you had still like George Gervin and Artis Gilmore and stuff playing. And like, it's pretty cool. And I think doing a pro-am is actually probably a better way to go about it, right? But this is where you sort of lean into it and go, wait, a pro-am similar to the way we do it in golf. So maybe we're doing a two-on-two tournament, white man can't jump style. And yeah, you've got a retired all-star and then a star from another sport to see who's actually, like, of course the NFL players are all going to fucking jump at that, but yeah. I still think the idea of a pro-am would be really fucking cool and very fun. Failing that, maybe we piss it off and just have like, yeah, a rookie and a retired all-star two-on-two tournament. I reckon that'd be fine. Number two, the celebrity game would have been better if they let Micah Parsons go at Stephen A. Smith one-on-one. Yeah, nah, fuck yes. Micah Parsons ate up the celebrity game. It was hilarious. Cowboys. Don't know how good they're going to be next year. Kenny the Jet Smith is a fuckwit. Yeah, nah, yeah. So this is, I didn't bang on about this because I knew Jez asked about it, but Kenny's shitting on people all the time was weird. Like dropping up, like talking about Sabrina using a different sized ball and then talking about shooting from the different line. It's like, this guy sucks. Shut the fuck up. Like, yeah. Anyway, Jez actually goes on to say all he did was shit on everything and confirmed his moron status when he started calling out Sabrina for using a smaller ball. Just shut up, you flog. Yep. Last one. The dunk comp was good, but it just seems to lack that spark it had from years gone by. Yeah, nah. Unless they get Ant-Man out there to dunk on a dozen seven-foot defenders at once, maybe. Yeah, nah. Yeah. So, I've always had a couple of ideas for dunk comp stuff, and I feel like Jaylen Brown should have been the start, right? Ant-Man, I don't know why he's not in the dunk comp. And this is what it comes down to. People are afraid. Oh, I'm just going to get shit on social media. Did anyone shit on Steph? Like, Sabrina took him to the fucking wall, nearly beat him. And if he had have lost, yeah, we would have all been just like, ha-ha, Steph. But he didn't give a fuck. He still went at it and had a crack. I love that. For all the shit that I give Steph Curry about being a puby bearded fucking little weirdo, that was awesome. What a legend. Ant-Man not being in the dunk comp is if, like, LeBron never being in the fucking dunk comp is absolute cowardice at the highest of highs. Like, it's fucking stupid. But also, one of the great ideas for fixing the dunk comp is you have to go through one defender. Simple as that. You got to do the dunk against a defender. Let's see what happens now. I love it. And you know who the defenders are? Last year's Defensive Player of the Year, top three. Let's fucking go. Love it. But yeah, it did sort of, as Jez has sort of hit on, it lacked a bit of a spark. Yeah, nah, yeah. It's because when you've got the Jacob Toppins and Jericho Sims of the world, over the last couple of years. Like, even though the Jacob Toppin stuff was really good and the dunks are pretty sick, you sort of just need that one next level up, dude. When you've got a rookie and you've got a G-leaguer who's the premier dunker, you've got an all-star and a two-way player, it's just, yeah. My buddy Weaves. Weaves sent through a couple. Do you remember when the All-Star game used to actually feel competitive? Yeah, nah. Yeah. It was 4 years ago when they had the first issue of the Elam ending. It was actually cool. But at the same time, like, I went at the Dallas All-Star game in 2010. Old mate and I were at. And yeah, it was a bit of one of those ones where you're like, we spent a lot of money on these tickets and, geez, these guys do not care. I knew that they wouldn't, but wow. But we also had a really good time, and that game wasn't too bad, but it was still very wide open, piss farting around. It does feel like this happens every so often, and it's just going to keep on happening until we put me in charge. Just saying. Put me in charge. Put me in, Adam. Put me in. And Weaves is the other one. Why on earth did they do away with the Elam ending? It was the best thing to happen to All-Star since MJ was demanding the East crush the opposition every year. Yeah, nah. Look. I talked about the Elam ending on Friday and how it was too nerdy and complicated for someone just to like swan in and go, wait, so what's the score? And you can't make shit complicated. It's simple as that. Which leads me to, I've got the ideas to fix the All-Star. Let's do it. It'll be the unpopular opinion of the day, I reckon.
Look at me.
First off, I love the court. It should have been the court the entire time. Oh, it's too slippery. Don't care. Do not care. Football players are going to play in adverse conditions all the time. Motherfuckers, you got to play on an LED screen. These motherfuckers out here playing on a Samsung. This is awesome. This guy's playing on a Galaxy. But I love it. Just turn the fucking court into NBA Jam. That's what I want it to look like. I want heat maps. You know how you make the All-Star game fucking radical? There's a fucking hotspot over there. Run to it and hit the shot and it's worth 4. That shit would be unfucking real. Are you kidding me? Turn this shit into NBA Jam a little bit. Use that floor. It'd be great. But otherwise, let's fix it all. So we use the court. That court is awesome. And I guess the unpopular opinion of the day is I love the All-Star break. I love, love, love the All-Star weekend. I love the Saturday night. I love the game itself. When it matters, it's fucking electric. And it's this sort of like half-assing sort of shit-pissing around that just annoys the crap out of me. So, World versus USA rookie sophomore game. Replace the skills comp with a game of fucking horse. Horse is rad. Speed it up. You got a fucking really quick shot clock. You got to hit the fucking shot or piss off. Simple as that. When they tried to do this back in like 09 or whatever the fuck it was, KD's a young dude. It took fucking forever. Ugh. Anyway, but we're going to horse comp. One-on-one. It doesn't matter if it's Sabrina versus Steph. I don't care. I wouldn't mind seeing a one-on-one comp. You can't tell me that, like, I don't know, seeing teammates go against each other be fucking hell. All you need is an opt-in. And if you think you're better than like this dude, we're going to play ones and twos to 11. We're going to do this during my in-season tournament as well. I've talked about this time and time and time and time again. We're going to have a one-on-one comp during the in-season tournament. If you want to negate the idea of maybe getting injured, screw that. We'll just do a very, very, very brief knockout on the Saturday night of All-Star. We'll get a entry field of, let's say, 8. Play 4 very, very, very short games, one-on-one, bang! You have a champion at the end of it. You can't tell me that's way more fucking interesting than the goddamn bullshit we saw in the skills challenge. The 3-point comp. Not only do we continue this one, which is the jewel of the All-Star Saturday night at the moment, but let's do an oldies one as well. You're not going to do your fucking knee if you're running around the court hitting 3-point shots. You want Reggie Miller and Ray Allen talking shit to Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. I love it. Because you can't have a Legends game. We've talked about this just then, right? You got old dudes shredding their fucking ACLs and like going to hospital and almost dying. When it's a 3-point comp though, what are you doing? You got to run from here to there to there to there to there and shoot. That shit's not rocket surgery. Oldies 3-point comp as well as the current players. Love it. Could you imagine that Jason Capono and shit having a crack at that? That'd be, he's like, I'm a back-to-back winner, motherfucker. And Dane Lillard's like, so am I. And he's like, oh, bet. Let's go. I love the idea of like, whether it be 3-point champions or just like retired awesome shooters, you know, throughout the years. Let's go. Because like you think about James Jones, I think Kyrie won it 1 year. Obviously Steph, Eric Gordon's won one. Joey Harris, he's all bung as fuck. But then you've got like the old times, like Glenn fucking Rice, Steve Kerr. How good would it be if Steve Kerr was like, all right, I'm going to show all you fuckheads how to shoot. Check this out. Bang, you bring back Peja Stojakovic. Yes, mate. I love it. We're doing the oldies. Three-point comp. And then the dunk comp. If you don't want to do my in-season tournament idea throughout the entire fucking, you know, this is the Outback Takeout, which I'll get to in a second, but if you get to it named to an all-star team, your teammates, everybody on the East and West squad has to look around them and nominate one player to rep the East and the West. That's, you've got two all-stars at least in the dunk comp already then. Lock it away. And then, not only that, so you've got your four players in your dunk comp. We get four past winners or legendary dunkers to mentor the contestants. So it's like, all right, here we go. It's Mac McClung. Well, it's Jaylen Brown and it's Dominique Wilkins. You know how cool that is? It's Jaylen Brown and D Brown. They've both got Brown in their surname. That's awesome. It's Jason Richardson and Jaime Hawkes. It's Vince Carter and it's Jacob Toppin. Let's fucking go. But just imagine that. You've got two all-stars out there, two legends of the game. That shit is awesome. Let's fucking go. And then the all-star game. This calls for the Outback Takehouse. It's Monday at Outback, and you know what that means? Oh, yeah. I don't know. We're walking out the back this morning going to school. Just saw a poor possum by the side of the road. Wasn't quite dead yet. So I made the squid just sort of, you know, grab his cricket back and bang! Off you go. Chucked her on a spit over the top of the barbie. Boom. Delish. That's right. Barbecue possum. And it's only at Outback. Bit gamey, but bloody delicious. And today's flame grill take is, if the fucking Elam ending wasn't named after some fucking nerd who came up with it, we'd still have it. Why in the absolute bug fuck did we not call it the Kobe ending? If it was called the Kobe ending, A, we would still have it, and B, players would play fucking harder to win in the Kobe ending. It's 24. That's what you got to score. Like, seriously, you have to explain a Kobe ending. It's very simple. You just have to score 24, first to 24 in the fourth quarter on top of the total points they've already got. Simple as that. That's all it is. That's the entire thing. Instead, no, it's like, what's the Elam ending? It's like, I don't know, some fucking Dorcas Malorcas came up with it. You got Adam Silver, this is the greatest thing I've ever heard, and jacking off over it. Nah, it's the Kobe ending. 24 points in the fourth quarter, boom. Or, and here's the big one, first to 24 in each quarter. But we're only playing ones and twos. Only at Outback. So there you go. The Kobe ending, or the Kobe quarters. That's all. Why is it called the Elam ending? I don't give a fuck that some dork fucking created it. I want, if you want players to actually give a fuck about it, call it the Kobe ending. That'll get the competitive juices flowing. And you can't tell me it won't. And away we go. And if, look, as I've said time and time before now, the idea is you fold the three-point comp and the dunk comp into the in-season tournament. You expand the in-season tournament. You play all the teams in your group twice. Every player in the association has to either do the dunk comp or the three-point comp at halftime during those games. We have the knockouts throughout the competition as well, as you play different teams and the different players. And boom. This is going to goose your numbers at the games during the in-season tournament and watching, because you've suddenly got a halftime fucking show that people care about, because it all culminates in All-Star Weekend. So now you've got more people watching All-Star Weekend because it's the culmination of the awesome shit that you've had during the season. This isn't rocket surgery. Boom! Three-point dunk comp all the way through the NBA Cup. Every player on the active roster has to play in one of the two. The dunk comp comes down to the final two of your of your entire dunk comp throughout the in-season tournament, as well as the two highest ranked All-Stars. Boom. And then you get the highest four ranked people in the three-point comp, as well as the four highest ranked All-Stars. Skadoosh. Absolutely easy as you like. We up the prize money. $2.5 million for the dunk comp. Away you go. $2.5 million for the three-point comp. Let's see it. Because you know you're going to see some awesome, crazy fucking scores on the three-point comps at halftime. Let's fucking do it. Just saying. The tryouts are all the way through the in-season tournament. We go through the knockout. It all culminates in a chaos, awesome All-Star weekend where everyone loses their mind about how smart I am. I also, look, seriously, East-West today, how do you fix that? It's a really easy fix. I've said it before, I said it on Friday show. The easiest way to fix East-West is go only one team gets prize money. There's 12 of you. $2.5 million each for the winning team. The losing team gets fucking nothing. No participation trophies. Fucking nothing. You can't tell me the coaches wouldn't be coaching their fucking ass off, the entire coaching staff, if they got to split like $2.5 million between them as well. Boom. That's how you fucking fix it. All right. So it has. I reckon that'll do us for today as well, because we've just clocked an hour. All right. But we will be back on, we've got Thursday. So we have games back on Friday, our time. So All-Star break, we have no games Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, but I'll do a preview show on Friday for a huge slate of Friday games where I think we have, it's like 12 games, I want to say, on Friday. And there's some absolute crackers in there too, like Warriors and Lakers and stuff, OKC, Clippers, Phoenix, Dallas, Knicks, Philly. So yeah, that's a really fun one. Even Orlando, Cleveland. So that'll be a really good one. So we'll take Tuesday, Wednesday off. Come back Thursday, Friday this week. Preview all the Friday games for you on Thursday. We might also do some NBA Australia awards for the first, two-thirds of the season as we hit the home stretch in the regular season. Because we're getting towards the end of February, which is crazy. All right, but otherwise, make sure you're following NBA Australia on Twitter, Facey, IG, or all over the socials. You can still listen to the NFL Australia Super Bowl rap show. Very hungover Gaz and myself, very fun. And of course, we have the Cricket Today podcast and the Football Today podcast for all your cricket and soccer needs. And we'll be doing some other stuff very, very soon. No surprises in what it might be. Check us a rating review in your Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify, YouTube, whatever app you use on your Android phone. It does really help out. So please get around it. And get around the NBAAustralia.com/shop. That's right. Go get your merch. Get your merch. Big thanks always go to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Check out their new band, House Hats, as well as Joshua De La Renta's Fascinator, Gold Mines, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Jedi, Green, 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 and Dozers for all the tunes you hear throughout the show. Smash them all on Bandcamp, Triple J on Earth, Facey, Apple Music, Spotify. Remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands. So should you. And we'll close out today's show with a really quick deli review. And that's it. All right. We'll catch you on Thursday, you dickheads. It's NBA Australia saying, look after yourselves, would you? And later, Hosanna! The worst of me! Oi, 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 how the fuck are you? It's your old mate Deli over here, just swinging by for my latest pop culture review and stuff, eh? But I gotta tell ya, I don't know, man, been like watching a few movies here and there and stuff, pretty good. You know, I watched that like 64 the other day. The missus like, oh, what's that Adam Driver in? It's got like dinosaurs and whatever. And I'm like, oh, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. And she's like, nah, I saw it on the fucking Amazons the other day. I'm like, oh, we've got Amazons? Sweet. Anyway, so I checked it out. It's like called fucking 65, and it's like Adam Driver. And it's like, yeah, Adam Driver in prehistoric Earth. So it's got dinosaurs and shit. Yeah, it's pretty sick. He's got a sick gun. And you're like, yeah, it's pretty fun. What are they doing? I don't know. Got to get out of there, I guess. It's probably not good with all the dinos and shit around. But yeah, so I don't know. It was pretty solid. Give that 16 out of 10 deli ones. And I'll tell you what, also just watch that All-Star game. My mate fucking LeBron and shit just running around like a goose with goose with his head chopped off. I'll tell you what, they need like a couple of fucking delis out there just to get amongst it and fucking start some shit, you know, dive for some loose balls, pick up some steals, play some fucking defense, a lot of hustle, a lot of heart. Throw some grit in there. That's how you fucking fix an all-star game. Simple as that. All right, there you go. Go United. We made the finals. So I'll see you in, what, fucking 3 weeks when we actually play again, eh? That's fucking, oh, it's rocker. Love it. A fucking holiday. Go up to Maribor, hang out with the missus and family and shit. Yeah, why not? All right, till then. Later, fuckers. Till then.